DCC, my church, my home.
If you do have your Bibles, I want to continue with our Jingle Bell hack this morning. And let's look at Luke chapter 1. I'm going to just read one verse, Luke 1 and 28 in the New King James Version. Luke 1, 28. And here it is, Luke 1 and verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, said to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for your word. I thank you this morning that your word and you are one. There is oneness, Lord, that when you are in heaven and seated upon your throne, there is a sea of glass. Now, I want to thank you that sea reminds you of the word. And I thank you that you and the word are one. Heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never, ever, ever pass away. And I thank you this morning, let your word come to us. Let your word touch every aspect of our lives, every area of our lives. Your word, as it comes from heaven, shall not return void unto you. But I thank you today for the reward. I thank you today for the fruit. I thank you today that your word is able to deliver, able to impart, able to do what no man is able to do, what no organization is able to do. Let your word run swiftly in our hearts, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Can you say praise Lord? So from this one verse, there are four things that the angel tells Mary. Last week we saw, we spoke about how we serve a God of specifics, and that God is into the details, that he sends an angel by the name of Gabriel to come to a woman, not just any woman, but a virgin woman, not just any virgin woman, but a virgin betrothed to a man, not just any man, but Joseph, not just any Joseph, but to Joseph who comes from the house of David. And God is into specifics, hallelujah. He is into the detail. This morning, I want to just talk a little bit about four of the things. I think we'll only talk about two, and then the other two tonight. But I want to talk on these four things. He says to her, number one, rejoice. Number two, you're highly favored. Number three, Mary, I want to tell you, the Lord is with you. And number four, I want to tell you that you are blessed. Can you lift up your hands and say, rejoice? I'm highly favored. The Lord is with me, and I am blessed. So this first word that he says, rejoice. How many of you know that it is the season to be jolly? If you didn't know that, you know that today. Tis the season to be jolly. I think that in a sense of humor, God uses Christmas as a reminder of what life really should be all about. In other words, I'm saying that life as a believer, as a Christian, should be filled with laughter and with joy and with happiness. I don't know about you, but I would much rather go through life with joy and happiness than with sadness and depression. When I wake up in the morning, I'm not looking forward for sadness. I don't want depression to be knocking at my door. I want to be happy, hallelujah. I want to be full of laughter. I want to not just have my joy, but have joy in my heart as well. Hallelujah. I think it's time for believers to be reminded that it's okay to smile. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to be joyful. It's okay to be merry. Can you say amen? Amen. We forgot that what it means to smile and be happy again. Christmas is just a reminder of that. We sang the carol right now. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. Sometimes we look at people and joy to the world. There's a dark cloud over your head, and all of the world's troubles and worries and woes are over you. But there is joy, hallelujah. Why? Because the Lord has come. Let the earth, you and I, receive her King. Hallelujah. See, we're not just supposed to be happy because it's present time. You know, we're getting gifts and wrappings and lots of food and presents and all of that. But actually joyful because of Jesus. He's the reason for the season. Listen, I want to tell believers, of all of my Bible reading and all of my worshiping God is making me sad, and then I want to find fault with people and criticize them and blame them, and I'm grumpy, then I'm sorry to say, but there's a problem with your Christianity then. Come on, I don't mean to pick anybody out, but if you worshiping God and serving God and reading your Bible and giving me the Greek of this and the Hebrew of that, and you're still frowning and you're grumping and you're, you know, finding fault with everything, then there's a problem with the God that you serve. There's a problem with your Christianity. That word, rejoice. When the angel comes to Mary, he says, Mary, I want to tell you one thing first. Rejoice. That word rejoice is the Greek word kairo. And it is a twofold meaning. It means, number one, in yourself. Find it in yourself to be in a state of happiness and well-being. Hallelujah. And then number two, when you have found it in yourself and you have worked it out, how you can be happy, how you can be in a state of well-being, then he says, I want you to transmit that happiness. I want you to wish that happiness upon every single body that you meet. Hallelujah. You know, I've discovered one thing, if you're not happy with yourself, there's no way you're going to be happy with others. Can I say that one more time? You see, I'm trying to give you some practical things here. Because, you know, if you're not happy with yourself, chances are that you're not going to be happy with anybody else. Lots of grumpy people, you know why? Because they are grumpy about themselves. And we have to start by being happy with ourselves. How do we do that? Two simple ways. How can I be happy with myself, Pastor John? You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what people have done. You don't know how I've messed up. Two ways in which we can be happy with ourselves. Number one, learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive yourself. Maybe you had to go through, and it's a terrible thing, through a divorce. And maybe you're blaming yourself. And it's now 10 years later, 15 years later, I don't know how many years later, and you're still blaming yourself. Listen to me, ma'am, or a woman if you are, or a man if you are, you have to learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive yourself. Maybe you messed up. You failed at business. Learn to forgive yourself. Maybe you were retrenched and you're blaming yourself for this and that and the other. Learn to forgive yourself. What does 1 John 1:9 tell us? It says, if we confess our sins. What are my sins? My sins are my failures. My sins are my weaknesses. My sins are my inconsistencies. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, this is where the grace message comes in, because we're not trying to earn a righteousness. And I have learned that the ability to repent is like pushing the reset button to your life. So number one, learn to forgive yourself. Number two, if you are unhappy with yourself, forgive yourself. Number two, learn to accept yourself. Can I say that again? Learn to accept yourself. I had to learn to accept myself, that I would never be like Pastor Fred. I will never be able to walk in those shoes. He was a great man of God and did some phenomenal things. I don't even think I'm going to get to do any of those things. But I had to learn I'm not Pastor Fred. Even though many people came and said, oh, you sound like him. You preach like him. Well, after 35 years of sitting under his ministry, you think I might sound a bit like him? You think I might maybe walk like him? I mean, I'm just looking at him every Sunday. I'm looking at him. I'm hearing him. I'm listening to him. But I had to learn to accept myself. And you have to learn to accept yourself. And so the angel says, rejoice. Look at somebody and tell them it's time for you to rejoice. Do you know that rejoicing also means that you got to learn to be happy when others are being blessed, when others are prospering, when others are bettering themselves, when God seemingly is doing miracles for others and not for you? That's the time that you need to rejoice the most. Hallelujah. That's not the time for you to retreat and be jealous and full of envy. Come on. You got to be happy when people are being blessed. You see, to rejoice means that you're actually releasing from your heart happiness. And you're saying, I'm so happy and glad that you are doing well and that you are prospering. Would you look at somebody right now, somebody you don't know preferably, and say, I'm so happy and glad that you are doing well and you are prospering. You're rejoicing this morning. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them, I'm so happy and glad that you are doing well and that you are prospering. Some of you ought to maybe look at your enemies and say, I'm so happy and glad that you are doing well and that you are prospering. Hallelujah. See, sometimes the reason we ourselves don't prosper and do well is maybe because of our heart attitude towards others, especially when they are being blessed. The Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. Pastor John, I wonder what that means. Maybe it means, Lord, strike them with lightning. I'm praying for my enemies. That's why I'm praying for my, oh Lord, open the earth. You know enemy so and so. Open the earth and swallow them whole. That is not what it means to pray for the enemies. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Huh? Love my enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Hallelujah. It means to pray a blessing over your enemies, that they will prosper. That they will, I know your brain is giving you 1,000 reasons why. And as you begin to pray that, you might even find some smoke coming out of your ears because your brain is just short-circuiting. This is not supposed to be how it is with enemies. But you're praying a blessing. You're saying, God, increase them. Prosper them. Lord, let them have encounters with you. Lord, let every one of their needs, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally, be met. Come on. Do you know that when you pray for your enemies, it is one of the deepest forms of love? When you pray for, it's easy to love somebody when they're loving you. It's easy to pray for somebody when they love you. But to pray for somebody, especially if they've hurt you, especially if they've despised you, ridiculed you, that is one of the deepest forms of love, because it means that you really want to see something good happen to them. That's your heart. That is your conviction. You are praying. I'll never forget when I started in the ministry in Cape Town. And then I had a fallout with somebody. Just somebody in the ministry. We had a couple of words and what and so on. And then I went home, and man, it was like, woke up the next day, I'm still churning this thing. I'm pushing, you know, in my mind. I got the video and rewind and play, and I should have said this and I should have done that. And for 3 days and three nights, I was shut up in the belly of the whale almost. I was in the darkest place of hell. Couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. I had dark rings around my ears. Then I get a call, you need to go and bury somebody. There's a funeral. I felt like saying, somebody needs to come and bury me. I'm in no condition to do a funeral. And just going through this whole thing, you know, and then suddenly the Lord said to me, you know, you need to release and forgive that. I bind you, Satan, in the name. Get behind me right now. And so I'd never done that before. It was the first time I'd had an altercation with somebody in the ministry. And I began to pray, oh Lord, you know that guy, you know him, yeah, him, You know him? Him. Bless him. You know, when I said bless him, it was like a cork had been taken out of my life, and it was like just this flood of weariness. And I mean, I wasn't able to sleep for three. She kicked me out of the room. She said, go and sort yourself out. You're sleeping in that room. I'm sleeping in this room. And don't come back here until you've sorted yourself out. But I had to do that. It was so difficult. I didn't feel like it. My brain was telling me 1,000 reasons, and then 1,001 reasons, 1,002 reasons why I shouldn't bless him. But I just prayed by faith. I released him by faith. I loved him by faith. And when I did that, there was just this tremendous release. And can I say, a joy that began to flood my heart. I had to do it. I've learned long ago that nobody's going to take care of you like you. You have to take care of yourself. Hallelujah. I like what David says throughout the Psalms. He says, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will lift up my voice. I will meditate. I will raise my hands. Throughout the Psalms, you find that. In Psalm 34 and 1, David says, I will bless the Lord Christmas time only. I will bless the Lord when I get my 13th check only. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. He didn't say, Jonathan, you're my best friend. I'm going to wait for you to come and help me. You're going to help me. I expect you, Jonathan. It is your duty, Jonathan, to come and stand by my side and help me bless the Lord. Is that what he said? He said, no, whether Jonathan comes or not, I will bless the Lord. He didn't wait for Bathsheba to come and help him bless the Lord. He said, whether they come or not, I will bless the Lord. Me and my own self, we're going to dig deep and find some faith with which I may bless the Lord. I don't need a band. I don't need a Hammond organ. I don't need a vocalist, even though I'm not a vocalist myself. Just me and myself, even if I have to lay hands on my own self, we're going to take time to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what rejoicing is. When you purpose to rise above every circumstance and you bless the Lord with your own voice and your own heart, something begins to happen on the inside of you. Family, there is a joy and happiness that begins to bubble up from the inside of you. And you know what? It is a joy that is independent of how you feel, what you're going through. He didn't greet me. It doesn't matter. She didn't greet me. It don't matter. You have a joy that resides on the inside of you. I like what Paul writes in Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4 and 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And if you forgot that, again, let me tell you, rejoice. Huh? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Is it possible to rejoice all the time and be happy all the time? You know what? I believe it is, but definitely not in your own strength. That's why he says, rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why he says. Why? Because it's going to take supernatural strength, a supernatural faith, and supernatural encounters with God for you to be able to rejoice all the time in the Lord. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice always. He says always. Why? Because our rejoicing is independent of our circumstances. When I'm down and when I'm up, I will rejoice. When it's going good and when it's seemingly going bad, what will I do? I will rejoice. When people like me, and even when they don't like me, what am I going to do? I am going to rejoice. When I feel like it, and even when I don't feel like it, what am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that's ready to rejoice? Come on, ready to activate your faith. In other words, you don't need somebody to tell you a joke to rejoice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To rejoice means that it comes from your spirit man. That out of your spirit man, there is a joy coming out of you. It's a faith in action, actually. You are activating your faith. And you are saying, I'm not going to allow anybody to distract me. It don't matter what you say about me. It don't matter if you like me, if you love me, if you hate me, if you're with me, if you're not with me. It don't even matter if the dog doesn't come and lick your toes. I am going to rejoice. I'm purposing in my heart. This Christmas time is going to trigger my faith because God wants me to rejoice in the Lord always. In the middle of the night, I might have to get up and drink some water. I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. In the middle of the day, I might have to go to the bank and speak to the bank manager. I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? So why should I rejoice? Why did he tell Mary to rejoice? He said, Mary, rejoice. Why? Because you're highly favored. Because number two, the Lord is with you. Because number three, you are blessed. So if you can just remember what he said to Mary, he's saying to you as well, hallelujah. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, don't forget Christmas time is a time of rejoicing. Rejoice. Why? Because you're highly favored. Why? Because the Lord is with you. Why? Because you are blessed. But also, the reason why we ought to rejoice, there's so many other reasons. Why? Because you have a sympathetic high priest who is praying for you and I. His name is Jesus. Why should I rejoice, Pastor John? I'll tell you why. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, and he is your very own paracletos, your counselor, your comforter, your intercessor, your standby. Why should I rejoice, Pastor John? I'll tell you why. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but who walk according to the Spirit. Why should I rejoice, Pastor John? Because your God is your refuge. He is your strength and your strong tower. Why should I rejoice, Pastor John? Because you have unlimited access to the throne of God. You don't have to come once a year on the Day of Atonement, but any day, any time, any place, anywhere, you can come and access the throne of God. Why should I rejoice, Pastor John? Because nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. Why should I rejoice this morning? Because God is working all things for my good and your good. Why should I rejoice? Because the Creator of the universe hears every prayer that you pray. Hallelujah. Why should I rejoice? Because God, your God, created you in his image, and he has prepared good works for you to walk in. Why should I rejoice, Pastor John? Because the angel of the Lord encamps round about you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Why should I rejoice? Because he loves you and is interested in you. He is the God of specifics, and he is into detail. Why should I rejoice? Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
You are. Friends, I don't like to close the broadcast without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you're either running God's race or you are not. And the moment you are born again, you qualify to run God's race. So today, perhaps as you are watching, you realize that your life is not right with God. Don't go another day, another moment, another hour, another second without putting right with God. The amazing thing is he is so loving, and he loves you unconditionally. It's not based on what you can do or what you can say. His love for you never changes. But you know, as you've been watching, that there are things not right. And right now is a good moment. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week. But right now is a divine moment. Heaven is open right now for you to respond, to come to Christ. And I know that there are people right now watching that are ready to either recommit their lives to Christ or to come fresh, never having come to Christ before. You can do it right now. Would you bow your heads and say after me, Heavenly Father, I ask you for forgiveness. I repent of my sins. I turn my back right now. I renounce the devil and all of his works, but you, Lord Jesus, I invite into my life right now. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. Thank you for your precious blood that cleanses me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity. And I come to you. I open every part of my life. And Jesus, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll never be the same. From this day onwards forever, I belong to you and you belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, I'm so glad that you've prayed that prayer. It's just a prayer of faith. It's a simple prayer. But I do believe that God heard the cry of your heart and that right now you're a child of God. And this is a time to celebrate. We'd like to celebrate this decision with you. So would you be so kind as to let us know what's happened in your life? Let us know if this is the first time you prayed this prayer or if you have any other prayer requests. Right now, the details are coming on your screen, or you can even SMS us your prayer request as well. We do have that facility available. And we're just so glad to be able to join our faith together with your faith and believe God for a miracle just for you. Well, that's about it. We've run out of time. Until next time, God bless you. And remember, Jesus loves you so very much, and so do we.
Besides the Jesus Dome services at Mayville, Durban Christian Center has satellite campuses in Phoenix, Berea, Hillcrest, Chatsworth, Wentworth, and the Bluff. For further details about these venues and service times, please contact us on 031-242-5000 or visit our webpage at durbanchristiancenter.com. And now we wish you a blessed week. Please remember to like us on Facebook or visit our website for more information about DCC, our church, our home. Durban Christian Center is now on WhatsApp. That's right, we are on WhatsApp. So if you would like to send your prayer requests or a testimony, simply voice note us on 082-935-3912. To stay up to date with events, sermon videos, podcasts, live groups, and many more, be sure to download the Durban Christian Center app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play Store.
Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love.